What's up, you guys? Welcome to Posh Brows After Hours. My name is Ulema, and I'm here with my work sisters, Robin and Daniela.
Hi.
How are you guys? How are you guys feeling?
Excited. Ready to open up for all the questions you guys have for us.
Open up. Well, we have to take a cheers because this is our very first podcast ever, you guys. Like, we have been trying to do this for a while, and it's finally happening. So cheers. Shout out to us. Robin already halfway done with her drink.
Yes.
Well, are we going to talk about the weekend?
Yeah. Yes. Let's get into that right
from
away.
From whatever I remember,
guys,
yeah.
So we went to Bad Bunny.
First of all, it's been like a blur because last week I was so excited also trying to like cram in clients because we took a few days off.
Yeah, we did. We tried to make sure that we ended at a certain time because, you know, we got to get ready. We got to look cute for Benito. So...
And then, you know, recovery days. We had to take a few days off to recover. We still don't feel right. It's like, what, Monday, Tuesday?
Some of us are still recovering.
Day four.
Daniela. So, but it was fun. I feel like it was a good time. We definitely, like, spent it very well. We had a blast. We got drunk. We were blacked out. So, it was fun. It was fun.
Yes. I would say I was definitely the one the most blacked out.
I didn't know I was blacked out until the next day when I looked at photos and I was like,
yeah,
wait, that happened?
I went through my camera roll and I was like, when the fuck did we take this? Like, I was sending everyone like, okay, like, what happened here? I don't know. It was just like, it was fun.
Thank God for the photos because that's kind of how I remembered.
Yeah, that was the evidence for sure.
But definitely, I feel like every time we have an outing, it's always like a vibe. Always have a good time. It's
yeah,
always like
we
a
always
funny
have
story.
A great time. I feel like I'm glad that we do get along this way because I feel like not a lot of people can get along with their coworkers like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that I picked a good team because how many people can say that they go out with their boss like that?
I honestly feel like we have a little too much fun and a little too comfortable because the next day I'm like, damn, like, you know,
like
I should have toned it down a little. But it's a good thing, I guess. I'm comfortable.
It's fine. It's not that serious. Did you guys think I was going to be like a very serious boss when you guys started working?
Oh, yeah.
Why? I gave you that vibe?
You're intimidating at first.
How?
You give me like mean girl vibes, but like.
Okay, I get that a lot. I get that I do have a bitch face, which I admit I sometimes do. But you got to get to know me. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't take the time to like really get to know you sometimes and they just go based off of appearance. And I don't think it should be that way. But okay, so you thought I was a bitch pretty much.
Yeah, but I had to come and see for myself.
Okay, you guys, Daniela, first of all, she literally came in as a student model. So I do trainings, right? And when I do trainings, I have models for my students. So Daniela literally booked herself an appointment to be a model to come and scope me out before she even came to interview.
What did you think about not only Zulema, but like the co-work, like us, the girls, the stylists?
So when I first got here, I was like, damn, no one's going to welcome me in.
Oh, do we have a receptionist yet and stuff?
You guys were busy trying to set up the Christmas tree.
Okay. Oh, the Christmas tree that never got set up?
Yeah.
Because when I first started, it was literally Zulema and Cheyenne. And there was no receptionist, there was nothing. So I feel like slowly it's getting like...
The team started to grow little by little, one by one. So yeah, it definitely became a bigger team now. But I'm surprised. And you know what she told me? She told me, she's like, well, I wanted to come and see how you were as a person. I'm like, okay. It's very interesting.
So besides them, like I'm saying like Cheyenne, obviously me, it was just me and Cheyenne. Like, I don't know. I think maybe Crystal was here or whatever, but.
I don't really remember who was here.
Okay. Cause there was a lot going on. There's like students and everything.
Yeah. It was hard to keep track of who's who. Especially
well, I will say, so I started off in a salon vibe environment when I pre-pandemic.
Where did you work at before?
I worked at the Lash Lounge. So I was doing lashes and brows threading and then lash extensions. So I started off in a salon environment. So that was kind of like my first, like what I got used to. And then obviously the pandemic hit. So then I had to work for myself and then home base. And then I went to a salon where I was renting. So it was like kind of salon environment, but everyone was doing their own thing.
Like no one was
there
really
was no receptionist. Yeah. Like everyone rented their own little station and everyone was just kind of like, you know, after a while we kind of learned like, okay, that's so-and-so's client. That's so-and-so's client. Like, oh, she'll be there. She'll be right with you. You know, if my client went to go get food or something or running late, I'm like, oh, she'll be with you in a few minutes. She's on the street.
Did you get along with your coworkers at your older?
Yeah, I did. Salon? Everyone kind of like did their own thing. Like people would come and go. So I feel like we're all kind of like, we're a salon, but we're all very like same hours. Mm-hmm. We're all here like 9 to 5, 5:30. Daniela kind of stays late. I feel like at that place, since we all were renters, I mean, we all kind of like literally, and it was like random hours, like you know, for the most part. So we all kind of came and go. There was times where we just saw each other in passing.
I feel like I wish I would have gotten the opportunity to work like in a salon environment too, especially to learn how to manage a salon. Because learning how to manage that, this was very new for me. Like learning how to control, not control, but in a sense, like learning how to manage a bigger team besides just being me by myself. I feel like that was a learning, still is a learning experience for me as a salon owner. I feel like that is still in the works, and I'm learning along the way too. So I always tell them, like, if you guys have doubts about something or need to ask me about anything, like, feel free. If you have a comment about something, like, I want them to be able to feel that confidence with me, that they can tell me and not be afraid and feel like I'm gonna be intimidating.
So Daniela, you came from like a salon also, right? So
I sure did.
You were pretty much like kind of used to that environment as well, right?
Yeah, I kind of did a little bit of everything from like being an esthetician to doing orders, literally something that was outside of my pay grade. But
yeah. You know what? I was very surprised at how much some salon owners are paying their employees. I was astonished at that. When I started interviewing girls for my business, people really are here paying shit. Like,
yeah,
for what? They're paying hourly pay, which is what, like 17 an hour sometimes, yeah. 15 for minimum wage damn near.
For a hot little minute while I was still renting and working at Nordstrom, literally having three jobs, I was working for a very well-known chain threading place and I was getting paid like $15 an hour.
Yeah.
But I was just doing it to kind of like stay in that work mode. I mean, I feel like I've always been a hustler. I've always tried to like, you know, have multiple incomes. Yeah, like, you know, it's kind of slow working for myself, but then I also have like a secure job, but I need to like, you know, but yeah, it's crazy. Like there's multi-million like dollar businesses and yeah, they don't even give you raises or they're
trying to see who's willing to do it for like that amount. And then, you know, obviously the people that want more are going to try to gain more. But how do you guys feel about going from hourly to now being commissioned here? How was that transition for you guys?
I feel more of a relief.
A relief, okay.
Yeah, financially.
I see that.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
And then it's closer to where I used to work because it used to take me an hour and a half just to get to work. And now it only takes me 20
and
minutes.
And on hourly pay.
Yeah.
I feel like kind of the same. Like I said, I was renting, working at a like different jobs to kind of like be secure financially because I always want to like act like I'm poor. So I'm always trying to make more than I can. But I feel, yeah, it's a little bit more less stressful.
Yeah.
But I will say I do have to not get so comfortable because I'm fortunate that we have Michelle, which is our content girl. I mean, definitely yeah. I make my own, like I'll do my own content sometimes, but a lot of times I forget. And then she's there to remind me like, hey girl, let's do some content. So yeah. I feel like that helps.
I feel that we are very fortunate to have Michelle for sure.
Oh yeah.
Like, 100% because sometimes, like she said, like we're all busy, we're doing stuff. And if Michelle's not there to record for us or they forget, I am very on top of them about that because social media nowadays, I mean, let's be honest, like, let's be real. With social media, if you don't post, we're not going to get booked, especially for the business that we're in. We need to show face. We need to show up and be that reminder, that constant reminder for our clients that, hey, we're still here. We're doing brows. Book now.
Yeah, especially because I'm sure, I mean, it's kind of the boring bookwork part of because esthetician, we're all estheticians, but I mean, let's just say you're booked and busy and you have your clientele, like regardless, like you're only going to keep 75 because things happen. People move and it's not convenient. People die, unfortunately. People
that was
one of the things like in the book, like they say, like it's transportation, finances, death. Like you're not going to always be 100% booked. So you have to constantly always look for that clientele, new clientele.
So do you guys feel more comfortable working under a salon environment because you know like the clientele is a little bit more steady rather than working on your own?
Yeah, definitely.
Like not only is a salon but like just being in the plaza, I feel like it's very like
it's convenient,
it's high traffic.
High traffic, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that was one thing that I was afraid of, like when I first opened up the salon, I didn't know the caliber of Posh Brows as a whole. I didn't know how much we were going to get booked. I didn't know whether or not I was going to be able to handle even like a full team. So I feel like we did it correctly where I hired Robin first. And as soon as we got her fully booked, 3 months later, then we went on to hiring Daniela. And then so on. Now we're going to add two new girls to the team. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for April. We have a lot of stuff.
I know.
Honestly, March was very booked and busy, but like we also had so many things going on. We had Bad Bunny. We had this now. We had the podcast. So, and then I'm going to Miami next weekend. Oh my God. So excited.
Yes, she's going to Miami.
Miami.
I'm getting my boobs done, which I'm super excited.
I know, like we're out here just doing it up. So I'm excited for what's to come for us too. And then moving forward, I feel like we all just have like that boss bitch mentality. And I don't know, did you guys always know that you guys wanted to do brows? Is that something that was like automatic, what you wanted to do, or did it somehow come about in an unexpected way?
I feel like yes and no. I started off in the makeup industry, like a lot of us estheticians, brow girls, you know.
Yeah, same. I started doing makeup too.
And then I went to esthetician school. Not like a lot of my classmates actually already knew what they were doing. They were either doing lashes already, brows, waxing, and they just wanted to get that piece of paper to be legit. I went in there kind of like mainly skincare because that's what they mainly teach you. Yeah. But I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And I really enjoyed skincare, but I feel like, unfortunately, it's really hard to get that steady clientele where they're going to be consistent. Yeah.
Especially, I feel like with skin, there's so much that goes behind it. Like learning what you learn from school and trying to work on someone's face, you can really mess up someone's skin. I feel like, especially with acneic skin, like you really have to be careful. So I feel like that part of it was very scary for me, at least.
Yeah, no, it is. And I feel... even us, we know how important it is to get our facials, but when's the last time I had a facial? Like, honestly.
Girl, no.
Yes. And then I get it. Finally, and like, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna keep doing this. And then a year passes and I haven't even had a facial.
So. I mean, I try to do my own like at home routine, you know, but it's not the same like going to an actual esthetician and sitting there and having the whole full on relaxation as well. I feel like sometimes people do it just for that too. Like they want to feel the touch and like
the special occasion. Girls connection. Weekend.
So how do you feel? Well, we didn't talk about you. Like how did it come about with you doing
brows? I mean, I think since like middle school, I've always known that I wanted to do something in the beauty industry. I started with nails and then hair and then makeup. And then eventually, I actually went to acting school.
Oh, and that's something that I do want to get into. I told Daniela, I was like, I want to take acting classes. And she's like, let me know. I'll take them again with you. I do want to get into that.
They're really fun.
I would go with y'all.
Let's do it.
Honestly, I want it just for a hobby. I think it'd be fun.
Just to have something to do,
extra income. And then it would probably help us with our reels and our Instagram game, you know?
Okay, we're taking it to the next level, okay? No, but I feel like... same. I mean, I started doing makeup. I did makeup for like 10 years. Eventually, one thing led to the other. And somehow, obviously, like when you do makeup, brows is a big part of that whole entire look. Mm-hmm. I would start with the brows. I feel like it would take me a good like 20, 30 minutes.
That's usually the first
just
thing.
To do carving
out the brows. Yeah. And then from there,
because you have to prep the brows and the eye area for the eyeshadow. So I feel like that was a huge part of me, to the point where I started offering like a cleanup as part of my makeup service. So that I can clean up the client's brows. Because most of the time, they would come in with some bushy-ass eyebrows. I'm like, girl, I cannot... How am I going to cut the crease when the eyebrow hair is damn near on the crease?
True.
I just couldn't do that. So.
Especially when they have, like, the hairline, like, matching.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. So, it was just too much. So, one thing led to the other. Fast forward to the pandemic. I feel like that's what pushed me to doing brows. Because people weren't really getting their makeup done. Mm. There wasn't any parties going on or anything like that. So that's kind of like what pushed me in that direction. But it was never like a plan. I don't know what got over me. I just saw like someone offering trainings. And all of a sudden I just booked it. Literally the next day. And it was just like a one and done.
Impulse.
I swear like probably $2,000 left in my bank account. Like, and the course was like $800 I believe at the time. I had my card note due like within the next day. So I was like damn near broke at this point. I had hit rock bottom.
And it's the pandemic too. So we're all like.
But I took that risk and I just knew like whatever I started, I've never started and not followed through.
You saw the end goal.
Yes. I always had the end goal and the vision in my head embedded deeply in there. So I knew like I had to figure it out and make it work somewhere, somehow. Mm-hmm. And I mean, now we're here.
Yeah. I feel like since you had that mentality, like it went far for that reason.
And I'm glad because some people, you know, they take the course and then they just give up.
Yeah.
So with that being said, what's up with the makeup? Are you going to do that again? Are you going to make a comeback with the makeup?
Because you know that's what? Kind of so what many you of started. My clients, I know. And so many to this day, so many of my makeup clients come and they get their brows done with me. But honestly, guys, like makeup was a huge chapter in my life, but that chapter has now been closed. I don't think I'll ever go back. I do come out of retirement for family, though. And then Robin here and there sometimes wants me to fix her blush.
Yes, definitely.
But I don't think I will ever go back to doing full glam makeup as a makeup artist. I feel like I would want to go into different ventures aside from brows, of course. Like, this is not the thing that I want to do forever, but it's what's working right now. But I'm definitely, I have a few things that I want to, you know, tap into and do and see how it goes.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a like really good part of growing, because we think like we have to stick to something, but life is about evolving and changing. And I feel like it's okay to have like chapters and different eras in our life.
I think it's very important to also learn how to fail. I feel like a lot of people take failure very, very to the heart. And once they fail, they're so scared to pick back up and like start over. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's one thing that I've been very fucking good at, because I've had so many different companies that I've started. I mean, you know what I've done. I have my clothing company. I had a swimwear line.
My first impression of you, definitely, I was already kind of comfortable because I did a training with you.
Yeah, Robin took my training, what, like 2 years ago?
2021. And it's crazy to think.
Oh my God, 3 years ago.
So it's crazy to think that I even took a training, because, I mean, you are an example. You thrived during the pandemic. Me, I was kind of lost. Like, I got my esthetician license really early in 2019. A whole year I was doing it. And then the pandemic hit. So I was just like, damn, like, no one knew how the pandemic was going to work. And then living in California, it was like one of the most strict states. Like, we couldn't do anything. Everything was closed.
Everything was on lockdown. We really couldn't do much. We couldn't go out.
So, I mean, I had like my loyal clientele that I was working from home, but I was just like, is it just going to be this and I have to do something else? Like, I didn't think, you know, whatever. So to make a long story short, the fact that I even invested and took a course, to me, that was kind of crazy, because I was kind of like trying to maneuver.
Like, damn, where's this going to go?
Yes. But back to that, I remember you had your little lash strip line. When I was in that, he was in Downey.
You guys, first of all, you guys see what Posh Bros is right now. We did not have this aesthetic. I was like full pink everything.
Yeah, it was in Downey in the upstairs. And you had your, you were like, you had retail like lash strips.
Yeah, I had lash strips. I had a lash strip company. I actually started selling also like lash trays. I started to do lash trainings. Mm. That just did not work out. That was like a whole other thing. But I've all these little companies that I've started up, I learned little things from each and just applied it to what I know now.
So those, do you feel like those were like the building blocks to like where you're at now?
I think it started when I was very young, because my parents would literally like pay me $5 to like mop and broom. And I feel like I, from that point, like I was like five, but you know, and I had like the little short brooms, like the little.
She was a hustler.
Yeah. And I feel like that's when I kind of started to learn that you have to earn your money. Mm-hmm. I remember in middle school, I used to sell like the little keychains that you used to make.
Oh, the lanyard.
Yeah, the lanyard.
Like the little square.
I used to literally sell them like every color for 25 cents.
Pick you know what I used to sell? I'm a little older than you girls, but I used to sell Spice Girl bubblegum and lollipops. My mom would take me to the dairy and she would buy the box, because you get from the ice cream man or like the supermarket.
The dairy?
It's called the dairy. Like, it's like a, they sell like, dairy. Like they sell all the ice, like wholesale, like ice cream, candy, like all that stuff. Like, you know, you go to the ice cream man, you get like a big stick, a drumstick. Mm-hmm. My mom, well, I grew up like in a Hispanic household. It was like everyone lived in the same house. So we would have like, we couldn't just go to the market and buy a pack of like ice cream and get the whole pack, because there's a bunch of us.
Yeah.
So, like I said, if some of you guys are like my age, the Spice Girls was popping, and they would have,
yep,
the
gum, I was Sporty Spice,
and the lollipops, and it would come and you get like a little match, like a collectible sticker,
like the Rebelde, like Rebelde, pretty much.
Yes, so I would sell them at school. I would sell the lollipops and the little gum.
Yeah, period. That's how you start. You gotta start them young, guys. If my son or my daughter wants to sell Hot Cheetos at school, I'm gonna let them, because that's how you're gonna figure it out. Because that's how
I
figured
it out. And
I think
it builds personality too. Like,
yeah,
it makes them more
not
for
so
it.
Shy. Yeah. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, you're a little more on.
Yeah, because when you get a taste of money, you're gonna want more.
Exactly. And I feel like once I started doing brows and started seeing how much money you can make as a brow artist, and even like a beginner, like, I mean, I wasn't charging what I charge now, but I was still making way more than what I was making at my 9-to-5. Like, realistically speaking, at my 9-to-5, I was getting paid, I think back then, like $17 the hour, which was still good for it being like 2019, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It was above minimum wage at the time.
It was above minimum wage. Yeah, but still, I was like, what the fuck? Like, with one client, I could make $30? What? Like, that was so new to me. So as soon as I started getting all this money, of course, like, I didn't know how to save.
I feel like it's not only
I was
like
just spending. As soon as I was getting out, I was spending.
I feel like it's also like the sky's the limit. Like, yes, you can make $30 from one client, but you could also make $50, $100 if you upsell them.
Exactly. Exactly. And then think about it. I feel like people have the mentality of, oh, well, $30 a client, that's not a lot. Yeah, but you're doing six, 8-9 clients a day, it starts to add up. And especially, like you said, like once you get to that level of experience and that price point that you want, of course it starts to add up.
It was kind of hard for us to get some questions because a lot of you girlies were asking very, like, I don't know if you guys were shy or
we're going to do
anonymous next time. We got to figure out how to do the anonymous.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you guys were asking like very like
brow related
business.
How much do you charge? Like,
yeah.
Where are you guys located? Like, come on. If you have us on Instagram,
Downey.
Pull up. Yeah, like we had to kind of like spice it up and like mix match.
We had to figure it out.
We need to make it interesting.
So now that you guys, would you guys consider like yourselves an advanced bra artist now? I would say so.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm gonna answer that.
I'm gonna
say
that confidently. Yes.
Yes.
I'm definitely more confident than when I started here.
What would you say was like the most intimidating thing that?
Brow mapping.
Oh, didn't even let me finish the question. But brow mapping. Yeah, I feel like brow mapping is for sure something that everyone struggles with. I feel like. Maybe you too. Or do you feel different? Do you feel like it was something else that kind of made you feel a little intimidated?
What made me feel intimidated was I already knew how to do brows. I was, like I said, I did brows when I first got my license. I was working in a very fast paced
environment
at like the threading places. So I was seeing anywhere from 10 to 20 clients a day. So I wasn't intimidated like, oh my God, am I going to screw someone's brows up? Are they going to get maxed? I've dealt with all that.
Yeah.
And I knew kind of how to like be professional. What intimidated me was obviously I came in here to kind of like help wing off clients. So I feel like I came in with my style and I feel like a little nervous taking someone on your clients because I felt like it was the expectation.
The pressure.
And not saying maybe that my brows don't come out good, but it's not the way you do it. In a sense. So I feel like that kind of was something that was very intimidating to me. Like just a little nervous, like, okay, like, she's gone to Zulema like so many times. Now it's her turn. Like I have to like I feel like I had to think and I was like nervous versus
like, what would I do if I was Zulema?
Versus a stranger or like not even like a regular, you know?
I feel like as a business owner, it is really hard to transfer your personal clients and wing them off to someone else or like to another bra artist that's working under you because like she said, they're used to your work. And then when they don't get the work that's up to par, and I'm not saying that was Robin's situation, but I'm saying like if the work isn't up to par, they might not even come back sometimes. So I feel like I can see how you were a little bit intimidated by that. But I feel like, girl, I've been telling you, like your work has grown. You too. Like I feel like there's little things that I see here and there that I'm like, okay, yeah, like I'm a proud bra mama.
But what Daniela says, yes, mapping is very hard and
It's not for the weak.
I feel like you learn as you, like every client you're learning because everyone's different. Like today I was overhearing, you're like, oh, the way her bone is, it's not going to work. It's like some people have a certain brow bone and it's going to get in the way or like shit.
We make shit look easy. Okay. It looks very easy, but I feel like when it comes to brow mapping, it's really, you got to learn how to control the string. You can't let the string control you.
Yeah.
And also clients too. Sometimes clients are a little bit like tense or they naturally just kind of like move their face, chew gum. You know, just little things
you're
like
okay,
that.
Okay, ma'am, please be quiet.
Like, scrunch their brows.
Like in the real? Ma'am, close your eyes.
Yeah, because sometimes they want to be expressive and start talking to you like this. So you want to make sure you calm down.
No, I literally tell them like, okay, look, this part I'm going to need you to, because I'm going to fuck up your brows.
Sometimes I shut the fuck up myself. So yeah, to make sure that they're not going to talk to me back. So what's something that you guys look back on as a beginner bra artist that you're not so proud of or that you maybe... now look back and cringe feel like you could have done a little bit better?
For me, for sure, ever since I first started, like trimming. I never used to trim. I used to be so scared to trim. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like now I look back, I'm like, oh my God, I left them looking like that. Like their brows could look so bomb, shape, everything.
Trimming is everything.
But I'm like, that hair's so long. I never trimmed their hair.
Because the way I was taught was to like trim with the hair straight up. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you brush into the side and they don't look good.
I think for me, it was the laminations. Like I look back at that and I'm like, damn, like I was really fucking them up. No, dead ass. Like for real. Frying the brows and making them super straight, electrocuted looking, very chopped off. Insert picture here, please. Because no, it was like really bad. And it's not to say and not to blame like the girl that trained me. Because honestly, back then, we didn't know better. Like.
Lamination was so new. Like, yeah, it was still pretty new.
It was just so new. So she trained me based off what she knew, and I was doing it based off what I learned. So it was just a learning experience along the way, I feel like, for all of us, because I think everything just starts in the UK and then slowly starts to transfer this way. But
yeah, we kind of like
adapt their technique. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like things are way better now, for sure. Okay. All right.
I guess tinting too. I look back because we learned in the stick.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So
what do you mean?
We learned on a stick. Yeah, she
what do you mean?
So when I first trained Robin, I took Bronco's training and they trained me to do it with a stick, which was a tinting stick that people still use to this day. It's not the best technique, but it was not precise at all.
It's not precise.
You couldn't blend the brow. There was no ombre effect.
It was just no. Unless the client had like a perfect, thick, full brow, bomb shape, then it's like, okay, but. It's hard.
What would you consider to be like the most difficult type of client to work with, or at least like till this day, what has been the most difficult
personality wise or
brow anything wise? Girl, anything goes.
When one client has like a really, really high brow, like today I was struggling because I didn't want to go thin on her. Mm-hmm. But we made it work. They came out really good.
Yeah, I feel like when you have clients that have offset brows or like a little bit lopsided, yeah, it can be a little bit hard or tricky to balance, but it's nothing low mapping can't fix.
Definitely for me, it's when their hair grows down.
Oh,
like, a lot. Unless you're a brow like, girly, you're gonna be like, what the hell is she talking about?
Yeah,
but it's crazy, like when I look at people, I'm looking at your brows. Like when I'm having a conversation,
I'm not doing my brows. Yeah, in my
whether
head.
It's like a friend, a coworker,
shade.
Like I'm not looking at you too hard. I'm not dogging you. I'm just looking at
I'm
your
like,
brows.
Oh, her brows grow down. Oh, her brows grow straight. Oh, they grow upwards.
I'm like that with the brows and with the lashes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's funny. And I'm sure, like, I feel like that's kind of like the main thing. I mean, the mapping could be a little bit hard. Those brows are kind of confusing too, but.
The other day, me and Daniela had to deal with the most difficult client. She was here literally for 5 hours, you guys. Like, you want to tell over you? You want? This
the
is your
one
time,
day
girl.
That I randomly
no.
wasn't
no,
here.
No, and Robin, yeah, Robin, she's usually here, but this was like on a Monday, I think, when Robin's off. So it was just me and Daniela.
Oh, yeah.
And
we took all over the chairs.
First of all, this lady came in with super unrealistic expectations for her brows. She had a line, right? Like a line of brows.
Literally, like... Chola, pencil
like thin. Chola,
and she wanted like her brows.
She literally pointed at my eyebrows and said, "I want them like yours." And I literally told her, "My brows are the triple the size as your brows, like,
and
how?
They're tattooed because they always."
And she wanted it to look natural.
I know, so it was. There's just no way. Sometimes you just have to make sure that we educate the client, let them know, like. There's
so she
just
wanted
no way.
Them natural but thick but bushy but not too much.
But like not too much, and like
literally.
I was like, ma'am, there is just no way. Like there is no, and I showed her examples. It's gonna look like this. Like don't expect it to look, but. 5 hours, like we were with her.
I probably tinted her like a good four times.
Honestly, so that she was one though for writing it out. I feel.
Would you ever like fire a client?
I have. I already have.
In the more of the lash clients, definitely, I had to fire them. A few.
Why? What did they do?
Like, okay,
was it a
tent
to get fired?
No, like I had a client that she would always come with makeup on. Okay, always like. For the night before something, you know, like mascara, eyeliner, freaking eyeshadow. And I would tell her, like, I do a complimentary clean wash, but that's just to get, like, the little oils on your skin, a little dirt, whatever.
Yeah, like, don't take advantage.
Not a deep she would come clean. With full-blown makeup. Like, and she's like, I wash my face. And I would literally see liner. I'm like, do you not see that I have a light under you? And I could see everything. And it would be, like, clumpy. And
then
she would come with clusters. Like, she would come with, like, strips the night before. It was just bad.
Oh, no. No. I don't think, have I had a nightmare client?
I feel like though, since you did both as well, yours is a little different because you did lash lifts, but with extensions, I feel like those situations are a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I do remember I had a client one time. I think I told you, she came in with lashes from like the nail salon and they were all stuck. It felt like a rock solid like strip. On her eyelid. Like it was just rock solid hard.
Like the stuff there was you see no on separation. Instagram. Like the horror videos on Instagram.
Literally. And it took me so long to remove that because it was literally rock solid. It would not come off. So I was just like, what the hell is going on? And she wanted a full volume set and I don't know how to give her that.
Yeah, in those situations, like you gotta be like, okay, you gotta come back in a couple weeks. But I feel like with brows, because you know what? That's a good question. I think it was a client or my nail girl. Someone told me the other day, like, what's harder? Like, lashes are, oh, my makeup artist asked me that the other day. What's harder, lashes or brows? And I said,
lashes.
A little bit different. I was like, I think lashes though. And she's like, really? I would think that brows would be harder.
No, I feel like people do get intimidated by brows just because, okay. I feel like people get intimidated by brows just because it is like the main focal point of your face. And mm-hmm. I think people think, oh, well, I don't want to fuck up someone's eyebrows, but you could fuck up someone's lashes mm-hmm. too.
Definitely.
Did you ever do lashes?
No.
Just lash lips?
Just lashes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
I don't plan on it.
You can definitely... And the sad thing is, like, with the brow, if someone messes with your brow, you're going to know right away. And you're yeah. like, okay, I'm never coming back to this girl again. But lashes, someone can screw you up real bad and you won't even know.
And your lashes won't even grow back the same. Like, that's
you won't know until you go somewhere else and they tell you, like, your lashes are fucked up or yeah. they messed up your yeah. lashes.
And we can tell, I mean, obviously, like, we see a lot of our clients and they're having their eyes closed and you can see everything from the top. So you see everything that be going on. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, no. Mm. But... We can't say too much.
So since you asked us your impression, well, you kind of knew me, but I don't know how much you remember me, but what was your impression of us when maybe like interview? Like, okay, maybe not the interview. Like, I guess maybe interview and then like when we first started.
I think when Robin first started, I can tell like she had a super bubbly, very like outspoken personality. And I love that because I'm not trying to have like a very quiet environment, first of all.
A very serious
and everyone
person.
Always says it. Like when Robin's not here, like we feel it.
Oh.
No, because like
we said that yesterday.
Yeah.
I guess that today.
Especially because like, I've usually been working every Monday. So it was
yeah, I feel like the salon feels very quiet when she's not here. She's, you know, she's chatty. So I like that. I like mm-hmm. that. Daniela, I feel like she was a little more quiet when she first came in. She was trying to like.
I was trying to feel the vibes.
Yeah, she was trying to feel the vibes, but I mean, you know, she opened up. She opened up, and now she's cool.
She's her little shell has been broken.
Yeah, first of all, sure. Daniela is funny,
especially because the first time we went out was in an outing. I feel like she was even shy then.
Like when we went out for Thanksgiving,
you guys turned me into an alcoholic.
First of all, Daniela's stories were alcoholics.
Yes. No. She. She was the one trying to make me get super drunk on Christmas, but
you're right.
I'm trying to think.
Oh,
the
yeah,
first,
Christmas when we went out.
Was
to the
that
club.
Your first outing with us?
Yeah, Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
Oh, okay.
It's because she got hired. Okay, so we had our Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving gathering, and then she came in like a week after or something, mm-hmm. right?
No, I think I was already hired, but I haven't.
You
started.
Haven't started yet.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, because yeah. the time you came for the interview and I freaking.
Almost oh my died. God. First of all,
that was Thursday and we went out that Saturday. So you technically were like
we
in
the
process.
Video?
Yes. Oh yeah. My God. Like trigger warning. Trigger warning for sure.
So there was like a trend going on Reels, right? And we tried doing the trend where you put the phone on the ceiling. So we had the phone like mounted on the lights in the reception area and we laid Robin out. I don't know what happened. The phone, literally, Daniela.
We were amateur hour and we were using like two-way tape. We didn't even, like,
yeah.
We weren't even like.
But Daniela had already gotten here
wait,
for her
was,
interview.
She was waiting. We were like, sorry to keep you waiting, but we're almost done. Let's just film this thing real quick.
So you guys had me
and then we asked her.
I was like, Daniela, can you please record this video? This is like your
initiation.
Part of your interview. And she was standing right there recording everything. And then all we see is just the freaking phone fall from like 20 feet high or however high that I don't know how high
it was pretty
is.
High because I was laying on the counter lower so
she was like laid off flat like a sushi girl like just literally laid off flat.
I say minimum 18 feet
I would say yeah like a good 18 feet the phone literally drops it drops like and literally hits Robin in the middle of her head
like
we heard that
like my brow bone / forehead
and okay, we caught on camera
and mind you, out of everyone in the salon, it would be me, the worst person, because I'm so dramatic. Like, I'm the most dramatic
yeah, okay,
person.
That's another thing.
Out of all yeah. people, like, really me, like, it was bad. It was bad.
I was like, Robin, are you okay? She was, I'm fine. But it was just like, oh my God, like, what is Daniela going to think? Like, she's going to think we're psycho. She's
well,
think
I
we're
feel
crazy.
Bad. I was like, I didn't know her, but I was like, are you okay? Like, do you need anything?
I
was like, I just want to go home.
That was literally the first impression Daniela had of us as a team. It
was, I was like, okay.
Me, Robin, Julia, Cheyenne, like, all of us were here.
Mm-hmm. I remember. Good she's times. Probably thinking, do I even want to work here?
I know. She was like, oh my God, like, how much am I
mind you, that reel never, ever got posted.
It never made it. It never made it out of these walls.
We gave up on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That was
good times.
I feel like I still have a little bump right
here. She
still
has a chipote. Mm-hmm. It's there.
A what?
A chipote.
You know what a chipote is?
No. Girl. Is that a Mexican term?
Oh, yeah. I forget. You guys. Okay, so I'm Mexican. I'm like, are we getting into that? Yeah, it's fine. Okay, next. We're so full of shit because literally these cards are fucking blank. So going back to, you know, everyone getting hired in the first impressions, when Daniela first got hired, I love Daniela, first of all, hired. Did I say fired?
You're about to say.
Oh, I was. Okay. So when Daniela first got hired, obviously, like, looked at the resume, saw she had very good, you know, past employers and everything. So I was like, okay, great, perfect. Like, her technique's going to fit in just right. So hired her on the spot. Moving forward, little time goes on. Tell me why her ex-employer hits me up on Instagram telling me why I don't want you to be careful with Daniela. Like, you shouldn't be having employees like this on your, you know, in your team. And I was like, huh?
Caught
like, I was super caught off guard. Mind you, like, I think we had just, like, gone out for Christmas.
Yeah. I think it was a little after.
It was, like, 2 days after we had just gone out for Christmas. I'm like, Daniela, no. Like, there's no way. Pretty much, like, gave me, like, a whole story about what happened with, like, you know, with Daniela and her salon and everything. Trying to, like, pretty much throw dirt on Daniela's name. Like, she, at this point, was trying to get Daniela fired.
Which, how did she even know?
Well, so I hadn't posted. I still haven't showed Daniela's face, like, on Posh Bros LA or anything, or on my Instagram. And she follows me.
Oh, so, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she follows me. So when she saw that
my face,
when she saw your face, your tag, obviously not part of Posh Bros, immediately DM'd me. So I was like, what does she have to say? So I'm curious. I'm like, is this going to be a red flag? Like, what's going on? Like, I'm confused at this point. So I'm like, Daniela? No, that's very unlikely. So gave me her whole story about what happened. And I'm like, no, there's just no way. Like, there's just no way. So I had to pull Daniela aside and really have a one-on-one conversation with her.
It was like an hour long, right?
It was like an hour long. But I had to really go into that because I was like, okay, if this is true, like, what's going to happen? Like, what's going to happen moving forward? So I had to hear Daniela's side because I'm not the type to just go with what people tell me. I need to see both sides of the story and then determine, like.
And also, I feel like that's kind of like not a test, but that's things that you have to deal with as a business owner.
Exactly. Because I didn't want to just go based off of word of mouth because I'm just not like that too. I don't know this lady. I've never met her in my life. Just, you know, Instagram, social media, whatever. I knew Daniela, at least even if it was just for that month that she was just starting working here.
You felt the vibes.
I felt the vibes. Like, I feel like I'm really good with reading people too. I know.
Yeah.
But I did not like that. I did not appreciate the fact that she reached out to me with a very negative connotation of who Daniela is as a person. And I mean, I had to hear her out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you feel when I pulled you aside? Did you feel like, damn, like.
I felt attacked, not by you, but by her. Because I feel like she has always been out to get me, like, for everything. Like, she does not want to see me succeed. And I don't know why.
I literally told Daniela that I was like, okay, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, like, I believed everything that Daniela was telling me because she showed me proof. Like,
yeah,
she showed
me the receipts.
She pulled receipts to back up her end of the story. And I was just like, wow, like, this is, like, super shocking to me, honestly, like, to go out your way to try to end someone like that. Like, that is just not something that I would do personally as a business owner. Say, like,
not only that, that's very unprofessional. Her being a business owner, like, that is against the law to discuss even anything like that, like, with you.
Yeah, so I feel like.
Yeah, I thought about suing her, but I just, like, I'm letting it go.
It's just very. If it was really real, the accusations that she was saying, like, it's against the law for her to even discuss it with Zulema because that's, like, confidential if it's, you know.
Yeah.
And then also it just looks unprofessional too, besides the law. I feel like it's unprofessional.
So I would have felt, honestly, like, shit firing Daniela based off of what the lady, we're just going to call her the lady, what the lady said.
Mm-hmm. The woman.
The woman. No, but yeah, I was just like, damn, like, she really out here, like, just trying to get you fired. So, point blank period, I went with my gut and with my intuition and I said, you know what, I'm gonna break your cycle. Like, this lady really is out here trying to
end my career,
end your brow career. fuck that. Like, I'm gonna have you thrive here and you're gonna do good here. So we hugged it out. We cried a little bit.
A lot of it.
You know, we got a little deeper into it, but I'm glad that you're here now.
Aww.
And I'm glad that, you know, we sealed that chapter and now you're able to flourish with us.
I love it here.
And also I love you how to learn how to deal with situations like that are going to come along. Because I feel like it's going to happen, unfortunately, as just being a salon, being a business owner.
Yeah, because it's scary. Like, for all I know, you could have been crazy or something, too.
I mean, she is a little crazy, but like in the best way.
Like, we're all a little bit cuckoo, but I feel like I just love that we all just get along very well.
I think we complement each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We all have very different personalities, and I feel like that is what works.
Yeah. But I feel like Danielle made a point, like, we're all kind of the same in a sense.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes down to it, like, personalities, I guess you could say.
I feel like we're all crazy. We're all, like, outgoing, outspoken.
We're all in sync.
We're all in sync in that sense. Even though, like, I'm stern, but I'm lenient and I'm funny. I can have fun.
I feel like we all have our days. Like, we'll have certain days where, like, you know, like, it kind of rotates. Like, one of us is stressed and we're just quiet. One day some of us is, like, giggly. And then one day some of us is
in love.
I know. Yeah. Ah, the conversations. The break room conversations.
Yes. And then also, I feel like our clients, that's, like, a good thing that I love being in this industry. I feel like our clients kind of, like, bring out things in us, you know?
Yeah, you get to know so many people and so many different personalities too, and you learn how to also be outgoing with your clients as well, because I feel like if you're in this industry you have to learn how to talk to people and build that connection.
I feel like there's definitely clients that, you know, they're a little bit more on the shy side and they don't really talk. It's just kind of, and then there's,
but you
clients,
get the vibe too.
And there's clients that are literally your clients but it feels like it's my client because every time they come and we're like, hey, what's up, like they talk to everybody. So it just kind of and I feel like when we're like, not that we don't want to be here, but we just, you know, we're going through our thing. I feel like it's nice to have those clients that are excited to see us and they're excited to be here because it just kind of like makes our day better or, you know.
One thing I always like to do is just remember like the little details that the client talks to us about, whether it was, oh, they went on a vacation or they just had a baby or whatever it is. That way I can take note of that little detail and then remind them of that the next time they come in for their appointment. They're like, oh, you know what? You remember? Like,
yeah,
it starts to become like more personal at that point.
Yes, because you can be give them the great service and they could be happy, but I feel like a lot of it also comes with the environment and then like just overall them being excited to come and like see us.
Sometimes
and
they just experience to talk to us.
No, yeah, my last client, she loved the cheese man. She loved everything.
I know she was so loyal. She's like, I live to. She was an hour early, like 45 minutes early, and I didn't think she was that early because, you know, I was busy doing my
thing. Damn, 45 minutes early.
She said,
no, like an hour.
Because she said she said last time she came, it took her 2.5 hours to get here.
Yeah.
Oh. She must
have. And I'm like, damn. She's a real one.
You came all this way for me?
And in my head, I'm thinking, Daniela, it took her that long. Like, don't fuck up her brows, you know? Like, don't fuck her shit up. But then she's like, oh, well, the last time I came to you did this. I'm like, oh, okay. So she likes Daniela. She's coming back because she liked the service. So she's a real one. She's really traveling to come, like, you know. So I think that's also, like,
I feel like I'm really cool with my clients. Like, I'm just like,
And I feel like that's the one thing I've learned being in this salon. The first salon I was in, the location, it was very like, you know, a rich part of Long Beach. So a lot of our clientele was just regulars that just would walk there. And then obviously being home based, I feel like it was more like, you know, like word of mouth and like regulars and then referrals. Here, I feel like people come from everywhere.
People come from everywhere. People literally and I feel travel like that's, hours.
It makes me feel so much more like special and excited. And it makes, you know, because I'm like, damn, these people really are traveling to like try me out.
Even your students.
Yeah,
girl, first of all, like, how, like, you're coming to get trained by little old me? Like, from where?
Outside the country?
Outside the country, literally, like, getting flights, catching flights, crossing the sea. That's, like, I feel like that's when I knew, like,
you made it.
All right. Not that, I don't know.
No, you made it.
I don't want to say that, though, because I still don't feel like I'm where I want to be in life.
Well, when I first met you, you felt like a celebrity.
And no, honestly, her students are like that. Me and Cheyenne would like kind of like not tease, but we would like laugh. Like, it's so cute. Like,
fans.
Like the way some of them like fangirl, you know? It's cute.
It is cute.
I don't know. I feel like I just don't put myself in that pedestal like that. Like, I don't.
Yeah, that's why you don't. And I feel like to see it is
like, to
cute.
Me,
she's
humble.
Very humbling, yes.
She's humble.
I feel like I am. Like, even though, okay, yes, I guess up there in the brow industry,
a little bit, but I don't know. Like, I don't see it. Like, I don't feel like I see myself as a mogul or like as a person. Well, I feel
like
you
definitely don't act like it. Like, not only when I first,
like, you act like the homie. That's why.
Even with your students. Yeah. I mean, you have to be professional and you are. And you know.
But I feel like I always try to make it fun. I don't always try to be so serious and serious because then it gets boring and then people don't want to, they're like, oh, okay, yawn. So I don't want to be that girl. Like, I want to have that good, nice environment. And that's why I feel like a lot of people ask me, like, how are you, how do you get so lucky with your girls? Like, how do they not leave you? Or like, why, you know, I get girls that just come and I hire them. They just get trained and then they bounce. I'm like, well, you got to learn how to take care of your employees too. Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to take care of them, how to
keep them happy.
Keep them happy. You make these girls are spoiled, First of all, spoiled.
We are a little bit spoiled. I mean, like, shout out to Crystal. She wasn't here today. And like, working for yourself, you know, I'm used to doing all that. Like, little things, like grabbing sticks from the back and restocking sticks. Like, today I was like, I have no sticks. I have no spoolies. And I was just like,
I know, we're like, where's Crystal? Crystal.
I'm like, little things like that, that probably take
Crystal's like our salon mom, by the way. She's like our receptionist.
Yeah, she grab us. Like, little things that take maybe 5, max 10 minutes, even when you're like, you leave in the morning or get there in the morning, leave at night, like little duties that I feel like I got spoiled that I don't have to do anymore.
Like turning on the wax before I get here.
Like, it's already, my wax is warm, like the lights are on, you know, little things like that.
Everything I feel is
like,
already set and done.
So yes, we are very spoiled. I am spoiled.
They wanted a coffee machine, got them a damn coffee machine, an espresso maker. Don't even know how to do a damn latte, but there is the coffee machine.
It's okay. You guys have a barista here.
Yes.
I used to work at Starbucks.
Okay, so speaking of spoiled, Zulema, I'm excited. When are we going to see the pictures from the photo shoot?
You guys, we just had our first professional team photo shoot this past Sunday. They came out so good. Like, I really put in effort in the team. The photographer was super high quality. The makeup artist, the models, we looked amazing. So that's something that you guys are going to have to wait for the next episode because we vlogged it. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you comment, like, and subscribe. Let us know what you guys want to hear. We're going to be doing this pretty often. So I'm excited to bring on other beautypreneurs too. So let me know who you guys want to see next.
So if you guys watch the whole video to the very end, to this very moment, comment Prosecco. I want to see who's a real one. And cheers. Stay tuned.
Cheers, guys.
Robin has nothing.
To the next episode.